This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dub Nation is most smooth. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Spadoni's going to be back tomorrow. I've been getting sitting in alongside Joe Shasky. Sam Lubman holding it down for us. And, just trying to get to the bottom of this, Shasky. The Warriors are playing, well, since Jimmy Butler got here, awesome. Kind of split things the last couple of days. I do agree with Slater that it makes catching everyone outside of Memphis for the five virtually impossible. And they still got to stare at the teams behind them because they're a half game up on Minnesota, who plays, a meaningless game with New Orleans tonight. And last night, the Clippers upset the Cavaliers. So that would have dropped you to eighth if you had lost the game. Like, all teams around them in their little realm, no one seems to lose unless they play backups.
I just, Cleveland has been outstanding. They literally, what was it, 15 game, 14 game win streak, whatever it was.
16,
thank you. And then you lose that game after you just lost one. And I literally said the day before, I go, oh,
Clippers ain't bad, man.
I go, I'm glad that they snapped the streak.
Clippers ain't bad.
Well, I'm not saying the Clippers are bad, but Cleveland's been that good.
Yeah. No, they have. You know, it's also a lot of those games left for the Warriors. Like, they have, you know, they play Toronto on Thursday. You'd imagine they'd be able to handle that game. But they still have Memphis, Lakers, Denver, Houston at the beginning of April. That, to me, is their toughest four-game stretch left in the season. You know, so now time is again. Like, Toronto, Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, San Antonio, you got to stack those wins. And as much as the Warriors have played awesome basketball, and to me, the clunker in a way against Denver was, it sucked because you would like to be up and continue to, you know, win. But
and they showcased their two fatal flaws.
Yes, which actually showed up a little bit in the third quarter last night.
Turnovers
Not even
and
a
then
little
size.
Bit, a lot. My God. The crazy part for me watching that was it wasn't just one guy. It was all of them. They had a stretch of six turnovers from six different players. It was Post, Draymond, Pajemski, Kuminga, Butler, and I don't know somebody
How
else.
About the Draymond foul on the jump ball?
Oh, boy.
I mean, a loose ball foul in that situation where he fouled Taurean Prince. But like, what can go wrong will go wrong. The Kuminga, you know, switching his pivot feet, or at least moving his pivot feet. I thought it was a little ticky tacky, but I mean, Kuminga gets one of the worst whistles in the league. There's just, I'm convinced.
Well, he would tell you that. He throws his hands up after everything, though.
Well, he needs to play through the whistle. That's the problem. He does. Him and certain other guys in the league, Pods is one of them, who they complain on everything. It's like, dude, you got to keep playing. You got to keep playing. You can't stop.
Pods, I think, though, at least from what I've seen, and again, it's Kuminga coming back, he's obviously trying to get himself right, I think, physically. But from what I've seen, Pods is someone that he complains about calls like as much as Andre Iguodala did, and he's not someone I think that is destined to have his number in the rafters. But he doesn't let it affect him. Like, I don't think Pods hangs his head as much as, like, for example, last night, Kuminga got frustrated, committed a flagrant foul, turned the ball over the next possession. Those are points that are being given to the other team that, in a regular season game against Milwaukee, when you got Butler and you got other ways to combat that, it's not going to kill you. But in a postseason game, those are moments you cannot have. You cannot allow the frustration of a bad call or maybe another player doing something to get under your skin to impact the way that you play. And that's, to me, the biggest difference between Pods and Kuminga in terms of the fouls right now.
Yeah.
Or the whistle.
Pods maybe doesn't hang his head, but he certainly stops in the middle of the play as everyone's retreating back, and he's giving it to the official. And it's like, you got to get back on defense. Now, the Kuminga thing, I just feel like Kuminga's just walking on pins and needles for everyone. He's trying to not mess things up. He's trying to find his own footing. He's trying to come back from injury. I have more empathy than the common person does for him. It feels like everything, every single possession is just being scrutinized. Is he worth $31 million? Is he worth $22 million? Is he good? Is he bad? And it's like, man, poor guy just can't win with a certain segment of the fan base. And I feel for him. And you could feel the weight on him. I think there's a lot of pressure.
Was that you?
Probably.
It was a drop, people. But I'm just curious if that was you. Yeah, look, there's obviously a lot of pressure.
When did I do that?
Like 3 minutes ago.
Really? Oh, I missed it. I don't have my third eye open. But
What?
We all right?
The third eye open? Are we going JFK files today? Is that doing?
You decided to go JFK files during one of our commercial
breaks.
That's
what I always do.
Well, you know, Sam had to be enlightened. Well, I don't know if enlightened is the word I want to use. Educated. And a lot of people are still sifting. Look, this is not Pandora's box I want to open.
We have a whole game called Pandora's Box.
We don't play that one anymore. Yeah,
yeah, it's okay.
It sounds like for good reason.
The third eye open, I start thinking about, you know, the clampers and all that stuff. So, it's all right.
No, I just, you know, got to read between the lines. The lines that I've been trying to read between actually have to do, and I asked Slater about this, it is why we haven't seen Kuminga with Butler as much as other players. I'm trying to get off this.
No, but I've seen some of the nicknames for Kuminga. People are they're just so quick to crush the kid. They're going to need him. No one's saying he's Kobe, but we also don't think that he's Alan Smilagic, who I referenced earlier today.
No.
He's going to be utilized at some point, and we're going to need him. We're going to need his physicality, his athleticism, his defense. I just think that, like, give him some time. Just give him some time.
No, but this is what Slater had to say, and I want you to pay out there, our listeners, careful attention to kind of a comp he made.
Yeah, it's early, and, you know, Kuminga, they're still kind of, 20 minutes, then like 27, 24, so yeah. I think that kind of limits it, but they should put that combo more. There's spacing concerns, but to me, sometimes I think they're a little bit afraid of it, like they were afraid of Wiggins and Kuminga, and to me, you don't have the similar problem as you had with, like, kind of the Wiggins-Kuminga pairing because of Butler's playmaking and his ability to lift others up, but I kind of think it's more been about who's in and out of the lineup and Kuminga's minutes restriction than them not wanting those two together, and I think you will see them together in lineup combinations plenty in the next, you know, few weeks.
That's something I'm monitoring, because if he's right, And once Kuminga is back to playing, you know, 25 to 30 minutes, if not more per game, then he'll probably play more with Butler. But the first thing that I noticed, and actually Lucas Alexander pointed this out to me, director of sports, we were at the Kings game. Kuminga comes in. First guy that comes off the floor is Jimmy Butler. And they go back and forth. Why, if Jimmy Butler is supposed to be someone that helps everyone else out when he's on the floor, is he not playing with Kuminga?
Because they didn't have Pajemski at the time. They needed another ball handler, and they don't really have a backup point guard. Pat Spencer is a third guard, like that third point guard. That's the way they view him. I think that they were utilizing Draymond and Butler as your de facto backup point guard while Pajemski was out. I'm just surmising.
The comp that he made to Wiggins and Kuminga, I think, I don't know, it shouldn't scare people, but to me it's noteworthy because Steve Kerr consistently said for the last couple of seasons that those two were redundant. And I think because of necessity, earlier this year they had to play together, Kuminga and Wiggins. They didn't always play great, but they figured out how to make it work. I wonder if this is going to be one of those things, because I assume that at full strength, postseason series, your best five includes both of those two players, right? If Kuminga's playing his best, if Butler's playing his best, they're on the floor together. I'm not so sure now. And so, again, it's like, to me, there's two spots, and if they're playing their best, the three players that are...
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vying for them are Pajemski, Moody, and Kuminga.
Not GP2.
I think it's Curry, Pods, Butler, and then Moody, Kuminga or GP2.
Because I think
and Draymond at the five.
Yeah, and I would also throw Looney in there. You got to remember, dude, the coach has his favorites, which I get, and the coach has trusted veterans that he thinks can guard certain perimeter players. And GP2 is a guy that they're going to always play more than we anticipate. No, I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying, I think you're underrating how much the coach loves GP2.
Well, and to be fair, the last month it's earned him a lot of wins.
Absolutely. He's been
really
awesome.
Helped him. He's been great.
He's been awesome. But I do think that when we have these conversations about closing lineups, we're kind of surprised how often and how much GP2 finishes games.
Yeah, I mean, well, and how much the closing lineup changes, to be honest.
It's true.
I mean, I don't think they've still identified who their closing five is.
Well, they're going with hot hand, they're going with form, they're going with reputation, they're going with defensive strategy, matching up. I think there's like seven or eight elements that are baked into the decision-making process.
I think until Kuminga changes Kerr's mind, which I believe Kerr will allow him the luxury to do, to me it's Curry, Pajemski, Butler, Moody or Gary Payton II, and Draymond Green. Like last night, Moody wasn't playing that well on the offensive end, and Gary Payton II's a better on-ball defender when you're trying to get up into the space of, say, a Damian Lillard, so he was going to close that game. Pajemski closed. I think he might have brought in Buddy Hield for a little bit.
He did.
But Pajemski hit some big shots, so he's got to stay in the game.
He's done this thing, Kurt, where like, around the time Steph checks in, 8-minute mark, they'll play a couple of minutes, Jimmy and Steph, and then either Jimmy comes out quickly and Draymond comes out quickly, or Jimmy or Dre comes out quickly and the other one subs back in. Like he's trying to have Jimmy play some of those non-Steph minutes before Steph checks in, and then have some overlapping minutes, get him a quick blow, and then he comes back, because you have the television timeout and you've got all these baked in organic stoppages of time where he can catch his breath. So I don't know, man. It's just
something I'm monitoring, because again, if you can't play with the best players, or if that lineup doesn't maximize your team, well, then you're going to have to pick one. And the obvious choice is Jimmy Butler. And so, to me, again, this is going to take some time, but that pairing, to me, is going to be the key to getting Kuminga big minutes and in a potential postseason series. It's as much about, yes, playing with Steph, you got to be able to play alongside him. But now that you have a second superstar, and more importantly, a second creator, someone that can do different things from Curry that are great for your team, Kuminga's got to figure out how to fit into that. And so far, it's been a bit of a work in progress, should we say.
There's no doubt it has been. I think this is also on him to have the temperament willing to accept whatever role that he's given and make the most of it. You know, like he can't, to your point about body language or pouting, not that he's done any of those things, but you got to kind of make the most of it. Like, part of what makes GP2 such a reliable guy is that there's nights he'll go 9 minutes and there's nights he'll go 29 minutes and his demeanor doesn't change. You know, and I think that the coach really likes that. The other night, I thought that they went with GP2 a little too long. I know why. They wanted a ball pressure at Russell Westbrook. I thought they needed the spacing.
Against Denver. Yeah.
I thought they needed the spacing of Moody. Because I thought GP2 passed up a couple of corner threes. But, you know, philosophically, we disagree, me and Steve Kerr, and that's okay. And he's a four-time champion, and I'm just a guy talking on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, look, he mentioned something pregame I thought was interesting. Like, I asked him about, how do you space the floor without Steph? And his answer was, spacing is independent of skill set. It's about, do you have enough space to pass the basketball? And it's not just shooting makes it easier because it creates more space. Well, but it sounds like he's hoping that these players, because again, he's played now Kuminga with GP2, Draymond, and Butler. We've seen that foursome on the floor together. It's not a lot of shooting in there.
No.
But you should still have spacing.
The other thing you're talking about spacing, I think we underrate, is moving without the ball to the open space. GP2 does a great job cutting to the hoop. Moody has done a much better job in the last couple of weeks,
yeah,
cutting to the hoop without the ball and becoming someone who is now an option as they go five out, four out, whatever it is. You know, moving without the ball is another big element of spacing. And then where you move on the floor in relation to where Steph wants to move. Kelly Oubre is a great example. Kelly, get out of the corner. I'm coming. Like, you got to keep moving. Anticipating where they want to operate and where they're trying to go is part of the spacing equation, even if you're not a great shooter. I think one of the things that Looney brings to the table really well is that, though he can't shoot at all, He moves well without the ball to screen for others and doesn't occupy the lane and clog it up to enable Draymond to be able to finish in the lane on those fake handoffs, for example.
Yeah, and Draymond Green is also, like, I mean, Oscar Robertson made a joke that all he does is pass it to Steph, but I think he
kind
of
does.
Yeah, a little bit. Not as much anymore.
The shovel pass and screen.
He's got a second superstar.
The shovel pass and screen. Like it's literally me and LJ going up against 2 14-year-olds. Like, I'm trying, come on, LJ, shoot. And I come up and I got a body screen two guys. That's what it looks like. If you've ever played a basketball game where you're playing with a younger kid and you're trying to get that kid a shot and you have to screen 5 other people to get him that shot, that's what it looks like when Draymond's force-feeding shovel passes to Steph trying to set ball screens.
But to his credit, he also has to understand the spacing required to do that.
Yes!
And there's not as much because people are closing out on Steph, but you know that's where Draymond, that's how he fits on the offensive side. Like, last night, what he did against Giannis was, I think, one of the more impressive defensive performances. Like, you talk about one-on-ones on offense, that was a one-on-one on defense that I have not seen a player play in quite some time. And affirmed for me, along with the fact that I looked at those odds this morning, Draymond is second right now behind Evan Mobley in Defensive Player of the Year odds. Like, he's a shoe-in first team all defense this year.
But what was the difference against Giannis versus Cat the other night? Why did it look so different?
Cat's more skilled. Cat's more skilled than Giannis. Giannis is a purely powerful specimen that I think Draymond relishes the challenge against. Now, Giannis, for example, also missed, it felt like, every single jump shot he took.
All of them.
But Draymond was willing to give him anything he wanted out there. Cat gave it to him with his left hand.
Yeah, he's
stepped down
and
hit threes.
Yeah.
He's just a more skilled scorer. Giannis uses brute force. And I think Draymond relishes that kind of challenge because he can use both his brain and his brawn to beat a player like that, or at least make it difficult for him. Giannis also had an off night, but the fact that Draymond could neutralize him literally from the first play on, like, that to me is first team all defense. And to do that at age 35, that's what you're going to need to try and win a championship.
Yeah, but you have to thread the needle on that back. That back is just hanging by thread. Calf, back, it's all connected for him.
Oh,
last
yeah.
3 years, you know. And yeah. I'm telling you, he's the guy that I would try to rest against Toronto. I think it's a perfect matchup for them to try to win a game without Draymond, squeeze the lemon, get past Toronto, get him a full 4 or 5 days of rest. He needs it.
Yeah, I mean, it could
he's
be
been
a game.
Banging against some big boys.
Whether he plays or not, I mean, Pirtle's on Toronto. I actually haven't had a look if he's still playing or if he's active, but you know, they have bigger players. You know, that might be a Trayce Jackson-Davis game. Even if Draymond's active, again, trying to figure out how to build in rest for these guys, to me, it is important. You know, then they got a 5-game, or pardon me, 6-game road trip coming up after that, and you gotta, like, you're gonna have to wear it on the road. You know, actually, one thing that they were talking about yesterday, I don't know how you feel about this.
Huh.
Do you think that homestands, long homestands, can actually be more taxing than road trips? Just because, I don't know, there's different things you got to do at home. You know, the family's here. You got to deal with tickets. There's different scheduling. When you're on the road, you can kind of just clear your head and get out.
Is this an older team?
The Warriors, yeah.
Yeah, pretty top heavy and older.
Yeah, I'd say so.
As a married man with a family, you know the most two peaceful times of the day? When I'm driving my car and everyone else is doing something else, like working. I'm talking about my wife or whatever. Someone's, you know, babysitting the little guy and I'm by myself and I'm able to just take a deep breath. The other time is when I'm able to use the restroom and no one's in the house. Because when I'm using the restroom, usually the dogs are opening the door, the kids opening the door. What's going on in there? Hey, what's going on in there? Where I just want 3 seconds to myself. So yeah, being on the road for some of the older guys is a little more relaxing. Being at home is stressful. So I'm answering your question there. I'm saying, yeah, I get why being at home would be a little more stressful for these guys. Am I alone in that? Am I the only, like, busy older man who enjoys just being in the car alone listening to music?
Well, compared to some guys at the station, you're not that old.
Well, I mean,
I mean, you're asking a bunch of people who were born in the 90s and later, so, I mean.
Yeah, also
I don't know
have
for
a,
the best audience.
Is the big boss man in his seat over there? Is he over there? No?
Yeah,
yes?
No, it's Steven Rizzotto, who's even
You guys
younger.
Are all too young. You guys are all too young. I bet Steiny, well, he also takes BART, so who knows with that. I'm telling you, dude, being on a long drive is therapeutic. Oh, well, play the music. Don't have to worry about anything.
But what am I? I mean,
home is stressful.
What are the best parts?
Actually, get Steiny. Laundry. In my young dishes.
Life. No, don't annoy Steiny. He's
dog's got to go to the bathroom.
Doesn't want
to
talk to anybody.
Come on.
You ever done a long, like a really long road trip, like a cross country road trip?
Not cross country, but I've done the LA thing many times.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of same thing. By the end, you have to just deal with anything you got going on. Like, you know, if you're in a bad mood, maybe something's going on in your life that's a little tough, or maybe you're just feeling yourself. Like, by the end of the road trip, you will have been forced to mentally flush it all out. And I think that's why some of the road trips for these athletes, the older guys specifically, like, it can be good for them. And the tail end of a long homestand, I don't think is necessarily easy. I think it might be also a reason why they kind of got caught against Denver. They were looking towards the end of that back-to-back, the fourth game in six nights, third and four nights, and then, all right, you know, we can get through this. We get through Milwaukee, get to Toronto. We can just get on the road and get out of here. And they got caught against a team that just embarrassed them, honestly.
Again, I'm getting texts from Dan Dibley right now. He thinks I'm 100% right. And thank you, Dan, for listening. I appreciate that. Look, when you get a little older, when your life gets more complicated, I'm telling you, there are only a handful of places in this world where you can get peace. The other place, and this is just more for me, like, this is why I love the steam room at the club after I work out. No cell phones. It's kind of a taboo thing to not talk in there, so no one's peppering me with questions. I'm just sitting there for 5 minutes quietly with no one bothering me. And I can just breathe in and breathe out. And there's something therapeutic about driving in the car, listening to music. Sometimes a song will come on, I'll think about a family member, my dad or something, I'll start crying. Another song will come on, I'll start screaming and yelling the song and thinking about the good old days, as we like to say, or my family or whatever it is. The car is therapeutic. A road trip is therapeutic. I truly believe that. You know what's stressful? Flying as a family at the airport. It's a nightmare. It's a complete nightmare.
Yeah, I'm still not to the point there. Flying is honestly one of the easiest endeavors in my life.
Evan, you're going to get to a point.
I can fall asleep in 5 minutes.
Evan, you're going to get to a point where you're going to come home, okay, every single day. And there's a never-ending load of laundry that needs to be washed, folded, dried, cleaned, picked up. There's dogs that need to go out to the bathroom. There's a kid that needs his diaper cleaned. You're going to have to go to baseball practice, basketball practice. There's bills that are due. It's stressful. The car ride is the only thing that'll get you some solace. So I'm not surprised that the three old guys with families, Jimmy, Dre, and Steph, actually like being on the road.
I think they like this group of young guys, though. You know, if they're taking care of the pups, you know, they don't mind letting these guys into their worlds. And what, there was the report from Sham Sharania that they all went over to Steph Curry's house for his 37th birthday.
Yeah.
The old dogs were the one that were shutting the party down, but the young players are there. They enjoyed themselves.
Yeah, but
picked
they
up
didn't
a little
go to
game from the OGs.
Did they go to Steph's house?
Well, I can't remember if that was in the report, but the point is they were all together in the same place.
Because then somebody's got to clean up the house prior, and then someone's got to clean up the house after. See, I guess
they're hiring $60 million. He's fine.
That's what a maid service is for. I don't know about that.
Aisha's not cleaning up the house by herself.
He's probably got some machine that doesn't even
exist. None of you live with a woman. The audit police come, and they want to make sure that the house has hit the audit threshold of cleanliness. You guys don't understand this. There's this whole, just for the cleaner to show up, my wife loses her mind about how clean the house has to be before the cleaner even shows up.
My stepmom used to.
There's like levels to this. You guys don't understand.
No, yeah, my stepmom used to make us clean the house before the cleaners would come over, and it was always weird.
It drives me nuts.
But the cleaners were still there. I feel like Aisha's got a top-notch cleaning crew coming over before and after.
I think you're underrating. I think Steph folds some laundry from time to time.
I also imagine if it was at the house, which I'm not sure, if it's big enough, there's probably a space that the boys can just go in and wreck shop. And then the rest of the house doesn't have to be touched. And
video
so
game
whenever
room downstairs?
Yeah.
The rumpus room?
Yeah, Steph's man cave where he has a Steiny's F&M jersey. Just kidding. And then all the house cleaners can come in.
That's one of those dirty. That's one of those dirty rags that you have in like the basement. Like,
it's actually for the house cleaner.
The car rag for when you check like the oil in your car?
That's what the house cleaner starts with. No, I'm just kidding, Steiny. That was a nice gift. I just don't know where it goes. I do wonder where all the athletes keep their collectibles. Like, they probably get so much stuff that is sent to them or to the office and they got to take home.
It goes in a box.
Yeah, but where do you put the box?
Well, like,
where the box is?
I'll tell you where the box is. It's right next to all the Christmas stuff. That's where it is on my wall. Like, I've got it in the basement. I got a box of my stuff, which I've hidden from the wife. And then I've got tons and tons of old clothes for the kid. I've got, you know, Christmas decorations. We've got Halloween costumes. You'll figure it out one day.
Yeah, people are calling me naive. That's okay. Yeah, airport is a nightmare with a family for the 925.
Thank you.
For the 510, try flying with a wife and kid, Evan. You might change your tune. Yeah, I mean, look, I'll let you know.
Look at this. The amount of people that are saying, Shasky's so right. My drive to and from work is the most peaceful time of the day. The other one, as a late 40s dad, a quiet drive is therapeutic.
Well, the BART ride in the morning, I throw the headphones in, grab a cup of tea, you know, just lay back and hang out and then walk. Actually, walking is one of my favorite activities in the morning. You just center yourself.
Well, that's what I do every day after I park. I have like a 6-7 minute walk. I actually look forward to it.
Like Kevin Durant talked about this, active meditation. Just because you're not sitting cross-legged with your eyes closed doesn't mean you can't actively meditate all the time. Like, actually, he talked about basketball as being active meditation.
I think that's KD being stoned out of his mind, but continue.
Well, but if I told you that someone else said it, you wouldn't be talking about him like that, because it is true. If you can actively meditate in anything you do, like right now, well, I'm not meditating, I have to think, but this is therapeutic for me. Being able to get sports takes off, have a conversation with you, this is fun.
When you have the mind of someone like I do, where things are scrambling all over your brain at all times,
yeah,
with
ADD, that's you probably.
ADHD. Yeah, there is no such thing as meditation. The steam room is my meditation. The drive home is my meditation.
That's active meditation. I think we're just speaking the same language in different dialects.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know. Just me.
But I do think what we're talking about is why Jimmy and Dre and Steph get along so well. There's a lot of commonality, right? Obviously, there's their age, there's their basketball success, but it's the dynamics of family and where you're at in your life. It's relatable, right? And I think there is something cohesive about this. We know in every work setting, you've got what you would call your work wife or your work husband or your work friend or whatever, however you describe it. And 9 times out of 10, there's commonalities that you can complain about and that you can relate to. And I think that there's a lot of commonalities between the three of them. And I underrated how much Jimmy and Draymond are alike. In so many ways.
That was the one thing that I actually had no quarrels about whatsoever. Like, Draymond Green has never had, and to his credit too, Jimmy Butler has never had an issue with an NBA player that he respects. Same for Draymond Green, I could argue.
That's a hell of a sentence.
No, I'm just...
As long as I respect you, I have no problems.
Well, it's true. The players that they have had issues with in their past, they clearly have not respected.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Draymond just completely dismisses Gobert.
He dismisses Gobert. He dismisses some of his teammates.
Nurkic.
At times, Durant.
Yeah.
Poole.
Him and Enes Kanter also going at it at one point?
Yeah, probably. He has an issue with all the Europeans. He just thinks they're soft. Jimmy Butler, meanwhile... It was Karl Anthony Towns. Like, that was the guy that he thought was soft when he was in Minnesota. So... Look, they are now a little bit symbiotic, but like they are, I think they're in a great space. And also the combination that I have been more impressed with is Curry and Butler, because they seem like very different people, but again, they speak the same language.
Well, I had Jimmy pegged different. I thought he was a more malcontent individual. I thought his tolerance for others wasn't as high as it is. Yeah, I had him a little different. I had him, and maybe I was just viewing it through the suspensions and how much respect I have for Spoelstra and Riley and how ugly things got and how toxic. And I listened to the Levitard show a lot. And so, you know, every day they're talking about Jimmy Butler and how big of a headache he is. And I was wrong. I mean, the guy is a much better teammate. And now look, getting paid keeps you happy. So I'm sure a lot of this baked in was financial. And I think we can all relate to that too. You know, when you feel like you're getting underpaid or you're getting screwed, or maybe you didn't qualify for bonuses because the corporation didn't hit certain benchmarks, but you felt like you did your job. And I get being jaded.
Well, and this is why I would say enjoy it, because that eventually fades. I mean, at one point, everyone has been what they feel like is, well, I would hope, properly paid. But then after a while, you feel like you're worth more and you want some more money. And then the relationships can become friction. Like, That to me is why this season is, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but
Kuminga domino.
Well, I'm not even talking about him. I just think it's really, everything is aligned right now. And I think that this year has the potential to be something special. I don't want to think about next season. There's only six guys that are paid right now on the roster. Next year, to me, has a completely clean slate.
See, I would argue that everything that I'm seeing now factors into who stays and who goes for next year. That's the way I'm doing my math, because it's a two-year run. There's this year, which is kind of like the test drive, and then the two-year run of what we're going to do as we go flying into the luxury tax next year. That's the way I'm viewing it.
But also, because of how mercurial of a person Jimmy Butler is, I'm not assuming he's going to be the same person for another 6 months next year.
So you're saying he's walking around with a bunch of dynamite?
No, what I'm saying is that he's in a great headspace right now. But he's also someone that can flip a switch. Shane was talking about switches earlier. That's for down the line. But it's why, to me, this run right here towards the end of the regular season, the postseason, is so important. It's a little bit like Draymond Green's DPOY candidacy, because it's a lane. Right now, they have a crease. Draymond Green is not going to win a DPOY in the future. Wouldn't have won it this year if Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren hadn't gotten hurt. Now, Draymond needs to play 10 of the final, 13 or 14 games to qualify for that, which I think he will. But my point is, he has an opportunity to get this award. The Warriors have an opportunity here to make a deep run to the postseason. That's the way that I kind of read things.
How many games for Draymond currently? Do we know?
55.
So he just is playing 10 of the next how many?
They got 13 games
13?
Left?
13 games.
10 of the next 13. And Bonte wins the bet. I bet him that he wouldn't, at the beginning of the year, he wouldn't play in 65 games.
Yeah, I think now that first-team all-defense is on the line, I think Bonte's got that one. All right, it's time for Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
All right, it's time for Xfinity Fast Five, where we give our final thoughts on the show, brought to you by the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. The future starts now. Sam, would you like to start?
Sure. I'll get things started here. YouTube's having issues. Sorry, everyone. We'll fix that in a minute.
Oh, you're all good.
That's not my final thought, though. My final thought is, remember when baseball was a sport of integrity? We held teams and players accountable? Because I remember. So, as you guys know, the Dodgers and the Cubs, they played a baseball game in Japan this morning, which was afternoon for them. And Shohei Ohtani hit a quote-unquote home run. Why am I putting quotes? Because a kid in right field reached his arm so far over the edge, Jeffrey Mayer thought it was too far over the edge, to snag this ball from the field and into the stands. They review it, but because it's Rob Manfred's favorite team, oh no, it's okay, it's a home run, just give it to him.
Are you gonna cry?
No, I'm just really upset that Rob Manfred just clearly rigging baseball for Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm fed up with it.
Did you just wake up? Have you not seen their
payroll?
True.
I mean, you could bet on baseball games, but it's okay. We'll just brush that under the rug and just blame it on your interpreter.
Let me let you know something. I knew the entire government was with the Dodgers, let alone MLB, when they wrapped up the Shohei thing in 24 hours. Because I've seen people that I know very deeply get investigated for years on end, have assets frozen, go through hell and high water just to prove a point. When the feds want to, they do their homework. There's no case in the history of the federal government investigating anyone that they've wrapped up in a quicker amount of time than the Shohei had nothing to do with the gambling story.
But
it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
But hey, if Rob Manfred's your fan, then I guess it's all good. There's no rules anymore.
I actually like what Manfred's done to the game, though. I'm very conflicted with him.
Yeah, I'm kind of with
the
you.
Worst.
Pasta, what do you got?
It's very tense in here after that. I did see the video, though, and that is like that does make Jeffrey Mayer look like he wasn't even reaching over. My final thought is that you guys were talking about what kind of relaxes you at the end of each day, driving, walking, all of those relax me. But one thing that is super underrated, and I'm sure there's people out there that agree, sitting in your car after you pull up home for like 10 minutes and scrolling through Twitter or Instagram is the single most relaxing thing. I don't want to walk in. Even though I want to go home, I don't want to walk in. I just want to sit in my car
for an
extra 10 minutes.
No one pulling at his strings.
I have zero responsibilities at the moment. I'm responsible for nobody except myself and probably this job and maybe a few others. But
when my friends reach out to me nowadays, it's like, do you have 1 minute, 66 days from now to go do this thing for 32 seconds? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Like, that's called responsibility. We got too many things we're balancing here. On that note, I think one of the most cathartic things you can do, just for me, and it literally gives me like a high, playing catch. I do it every day, pretty much. I love fielding ground balls and playing catch. There's something about playing catch to this day, shooting buckets, whatever it is, it's therapeutic. It's equivalent to me hitting a bucket of golf balls. There's something about it. I love doing it.
I like that. Yeah, I haven't played catch in a long time, but I need to get back out there. I always keep the leather right next to the bedside. My final thought is, she's back, boys. Lady Madness. She rises every March. She claims brackets left and right. And last night, damn it, I thought San Diego State had a chance. UNC was a team that everyone was telling me didn't deserve to be in the tournament. Was telling me was the team that it's an absolute disgrace to the committee that UNC is in the field of 64. And they beat San Diego State by 30 points.
I got them going all the way to the Sweet 16.
You know what? I might take them to win it all. Because nah. Lady Madness is that cruel.
I got Duke.
All right.
Dukey.
No, Duke's going to be awesome. I also like Auburn. Go St. Mary's. They play 12-15 Friday. Vanderbilt.
They got a bad draw.
Not if Grant Nelson is out for Alabama. I think they got a chance.
I know,
in the second
but let's go that second matchup. Like,
yeah, it's
not
tough.
Good.
No,
Gonzaga, I thought, got a better draw than them, which was unfair.
Yeah, they usually do. And they're a lower seed. That was the Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity at home or on the go. You get the fastest internet to all your devices. Evan Giddings filling in for Joe Spadoni. He'll be back tomorrow. Big thank you to Joe Shasky. Big thank you to Sam Lubman. Thank you to Anthony Slater who joined us at the River Islands guest line. Time for Steining Guru. Coming up next, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.